Hello and welcome to Locked On Astros, your daily Astros podcast. Here are your hosts, Eric the Man Heisman and Brett H-Town Wheelhouse Chansey.
We are Locked On Houston Astros, and we hope that you join us for a daily Locked On Astros podcast. My name is Eric Heisman. You can find me on Twitter at Eric Talk Stros. You can find the show at Locked On Astros, your team every day. Brett, where can I find you at?
They can find me at H-Town Wheelhouse on Twitter and at Stros411 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Always positive. Hey, we got to the middle relievers. Always Stros.
Alrighty. So, yeah, you're looking for the positive there. So, yeah, this was a weird game. The Astros are now 0-4 in game ones of the World Series. That goes back all the way to 2005, 2017, 2019, now 2021. So, yeah, this is just something that I guess is just in their blood. Sometimes if you're in City Houston, it's just what you do. You just like to start off with your backs against the wall. But at the same time, it's just game one. It really is just game one. And speaking of just game one, thank you for making Locked On Astros podcast your first listen every day. And whether it's on YouTube, keep on subscribing to us on YouTube, or whether it's on at the audio version, which is Apple, Odyssey, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast, keep on listening to Locked On Astros podcast daily. Make us your first listen every day. So, and you know, it would be a good place to talk about some of the Dusty Baker's decision is Spotify Green Room. And you know that this episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the app and join us this week. We'll probably have one maybe on Thursday to kind of talk about the series so far. And so join us on Thursday to get in on the action. What do you think about what's going on so far? Are you worried about it? Join the discussion this week on Spotify Green Room. It's changing the way we talk sports. So I know we did a kind of a pregame show earlier, and we talked about Marwin Gonzalez making a team instead of Garrett Stubbs. But this game was a perfect example of why you need a third catcher, because Martin Maldonado, he came up with a position where I believe it was only one out at the time. You had runners at first and third. That would have been a perfect time to bring in Jason Castro and pinch hit for him. But instead, you leave in Martin Maldonado. He gets out. Then I believe that the next hitter was Jose Altuve, and he popped up to, I want to say, is a foul ball to third base side. And then you don't score any more runs. Yeah. But in that situation, Dusty Baker addressed it after game, and he said, look, it was just too early to take Martin Maldonado out of that game.
Yeah, and he said basically that if you do that, you're panicking. And he goes, I don't panic, which I don't doubt at all that Dusty does not panic. The bottom line is this, Eric. You had your big three, Correa, Bregman, and Altuve, go 0-for-12, I believe. And when those three guys cannot get a hit, when they cannot score runs, when you can't scratch across a hit other than your first two hits coming from the professor himself, Uncle Mike, then you have problems. Framber Valdez was not locating his curveball. He got behind hitters in the first inning. That's why he gave up those runs. And when he got behind, he tried to come back with the fastball, and his fastball was floating up in the zone. And he was basically, someone asked, is Framber Valdez Italian because he's throwing meatballs up there? Like he was throwing ball type pitch. That's how well they were hitting him. I don't think he was locating his pitches. I don't think he was tipping his pitches. He couldn't locate his curveball. And remember, we talked with Mike Stanton about this from AT&T Sportsnet about difficulty in the arm slot and all the different mechanics that go into his curveball. And if he's not in sync, then the curveball goes everywhere. Eric, mark my words, he's going to fix it, okay? And this is what he said. This is what he said after the game. He said that we are going to look at the errors I made and how I can clean them up. What happened in the ALCS? He came back and did what, Eric? He had the most innings pitched by a pitcher in a playoff game in like the last 48 playoff games. No one's gone that long in the last 48 playoff games. So Framber will fix it. And there's some other things that happen. I think there are positives, some things that happen on Atlanta's side that aren't a positive thing. It doesn't hurt the Astros happened. And it's baseball's going to baseball sometimes, right?
Yeah, but what happened was Framber Valdez got hit hard. And when I say he got hit hard, he had the exit velocity of 111, 106, 107, 115, 105, 105. And this is not what we're used to seeing from Framber Valdez. The Braves were seeing the ball very well, especially Jorge Soler, who hit a leadoff home run. This is something that I believe that we have not seen in Major League Baseball. This is it was the first ever hit in the top of the first by a leadoff hitter in World Series history. And this is the 117th World Series. This was the first time there was a leadoff. You would think that somebody like George Springer would have done this, or somebody.
Yeah, I know. No, yeah. I saw that in the notes and I'm like, that is strange. And, you know, one of the things that people go to is teams scoring first in the postseason have won 24 of the 31 games. And so, but this team had the counterpunch, Eric. They've had the counterpunch all playoffs, and they didn't counterpunch. You have teams that score early on you, and then what do? Come back late, and you end up winning. Well, it wasn't a two-run deficit, or it wasn't a 2-2 tie. And after those five runs, they only gave up one run after that. And then, of course, kind of added some tack some on the end there. But outside of the opening pitcher giving up all those runs, the bullpen did their job, Eric.
They gave up one. And that one, I believe, was Stanek, and I still don't know what it looked like. It looks like Bad News Bears, where the ball got by him, and he was like trying to crawl to go get the ball.
And you hate to say. I mean, he was out there hustling his what off out there.
Yeah, and Stanek is normally a very dependable guy, and I'm not going to really make fun of him, but that's just kind of a sign of how things were going in this game. Phil Maton was pitching pretty good, but then all of a sudden he lost it. Jake Odorizzi, he came in and he dominated. He flat out dominated he did what Christian Javier did the other day. He came in and ate up some innings, and that's what the Astros needed. They needed somebody to come in and take care of business, and that's Odorizzi did. In 2 1/3 innings, he only allowed one hit and with five strikeouts. And who would have thought that Odorizzi would have come in and did that? So I don't know if he'll be able to start a game after this, but I think that because he only threw 42 pitches, he may be able to come back maybe in game four, maybe game five. But
I would start him. I think game four or five, you look at Valdez. I mean, Valdez may be on short rest for game four, but you could always bring him back if he feels like he's locating it. Grinke, I think you go Luis Garcia 3, Grinke 4, and then bring in Valdez 5. If 4 is a must win and you think Valdez is your go-to guy, you go Valdez and you just put the team on his back and you hope that he can carry them to a victory. You may have him for an auxiliary starter or a fill-in in a game seven if you get to that point. But after he pitches that game five, you probably won't see Valdez again if he pitches that late.
All right, so tell us a little bit about Spotify Green Room. I mean, a great place to have a great discussion.
Yeah, so Spotify Green Room is changing the way we talk about sports. It's a full audio platform made for sports fans like you, like all of us. We love sports. Talking sports, talking to the experts. You can talk to it and talk to professional athletes. You can talk to podcasters like myself and Eric Heisman. So I want you to go to your iOS device, your Apple, and download Spotify Green Room and join the MLB group, join the NFL group, the NBA group, any major sport that you follow, join those groups and then follow me at H-Town Wheelhouse, follow Eric at Eric Heisman, and you will be notified when we go live. We go live, you get to be a part of the show. You get to come on stage. You get to have your expert voice heard. And Eric, you can attest to this. We've had several faithful listeners on our show that have followed us from before our YouTube days And they add a great insight to some things that maybe we don't see because we don't have it all figured out. Spotify Green Room, check it out. It's a free and easy to use app. It's changing the way that we talk about sports.
All righty, and continue making us your first listen every day, whether it's on YouTube, like Brett just mentioned. Keep on subscribing, keep on giving us some likes, and listen to the audio version, whether it's Apple, Odyssey, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast, keep on listening to Locked On Astros podcast. So, yeah, a lot of people are talking about Charlie Morton, and Charlie Morton got hit by that comebacker by Yuli Gurriel, and he stayed in to pitch. I believe he got Yuli Gurriel to strike out, and he Chaz McCormick to fly out, and Martin Maldonado, I guess, or he somebody out, and then he also struck out Jose Altuve. And as he struck out Jose Altuve on an 80-mile-per-hour curveball, he essentially fell to the ground, and he has a fractured tibia in his ankle, and so he's going to be out for the rest of the playoffs. So
yeah, he's
the
done.
Pain this guy must have been in. I mean, I guess the adrenaline probably made him not even realize that he was hurting. But when that hit him, you can imagine that he was like, oh, and he just couldn't put any pressure. As somebody who just recently had foot surgery, I can imagine how that would have felt. But no, I'm not glad that Charlie Morton is not. He's a great guy. I would never wish any type of injury for him. But that is a big blow for the Braves, just like losing Lance McCullers was a big blow for the Astros.
No, yeah, definitely. You don't ever want a team to lose a player due to injury. Regardless of whether we like him or he's a part of Astros history, that's not even the point. The point is he's a professional athlete. You never want to see an athlete have to leave the field injured. There was a very stark reality picture that was posted. I don't know if you saw it. I just saw it yesterday where Albert Pujols is helping Justin Turner down into the tunnel under the dugout after he pulled his hamstring. And what a humbling picture seeing Pujols, who's been ailed by injuries, helping Turner, like basically ending his season. And so you hate to see someone like Charlie Morton, a great competitor, a world champion, I might add, to go out like that because he is one of the good guys in the game. Now, with all that aside, the Houston Astros have their work cut out for them. In this home game, they have to take advantage. They can't let the Braves steal the crowd. They stole the crowd. There was never any momentum that shifted towards the Astros. There was a hit here, a hit there, and that was it. And remember, we talked about momentum is a game-to-game situation. There was never any momentum for the Houston Astros. The bullpen, their job, it was a total disaster. You would have thought as many hits as the Braves got, that they had 12, 13, 14 runs. They only had 6 runs. And while you only scored 2, there were opportunities. You had a bases loaded opportunity, perfect opportunity. And it just did not fall their way tonight. We'll talk more about the other probable starters. I know Christian Javier, I think, is going to play a major role going forward. You have got to have Urquidy go 5 or 6 innings, Eric. He has got to go 5 or 6 innings because this team desperately needs a starter to go the distance. Lance McCullers out is a huge glare on this team because if Lance McCullers is healthy and goes out there and deals the way he's dealt, this team, I think, comes out smelling like roses in a game one.
Right. And Brian Snicker said after a game that Charlie Morton actually wanted to keep on going even after he broke his leg. He said he was trying to throw in a tunnel and he was like, no, I'm fine. I'm good. Just put me in coach.
I love that mentality though. You got to love it.
Yeah. So I know that Dusty Baker says that tomorrow is our day. And so, yeah, we've seen this in the past. We've seen the Astros kind of drop the first game. And then in 2017, they came back and go on to win the World Series. In the 2019 World Series, the Astros went on to even up the series and then force the game 7. And so we've seen this in the situation. And one of the big guys was Jose Urquidy. who helped them even the series in the national, in that national series. But Urquidy's a little bit different situation now. He's not built up as much as he was at that point. He's not stretched out as much. And he's probably got a lot of weight on his shoulders because he's probably like, you know what? I'm just going to be the middle guy. I'm going to be in between Framber Valdez and in between Luis Garcia. If I go three innings, that's going to be good. And so I'll be fine. But now they're like, okay, yeah, I need to go a little bit more than three innings. And so,
right.
But the Braves are in the same situation because they didn't last three innings either. So the Braves are in the same situation. They had AJ Minter go, I believe he went 2 2/3 innings, and he threw a lot of pitches. So the Astros and Braves kind of after game one, they both kind of used up a little bit of their bullpen pieces, but they didn't use their primary pieces.
The problem is the Braves walked away with the win. And you know, for the Astros, obviously, their backs aren't against the wall. But the bottom line is this. People, if you have been a fan or you played the sport of baseball, baseball is predicated not on failure, whether it's going to happen, because it's going to happen. It's what you do when it happens. It's how you react. You know, they always say, and I always say this to my students, life is like 10% what happens to you and 90% how you react to it. And one of the things that Dusty Baker said, he came into this press conference afterwards, and he said that this team does not know how to quit. This team, I know them. When we go into the clubhouse, they're going to look at each other. They're going to know that they have their work cut out for them. And they're not going to give up because they know what it's like to forget. They're going to move on, and they're going to fix, and they're going to come out and fight because they don't know the word give up. And baseball, you're going to have failure. This team is equipped. Remember, we've said this team is more battle-tested than any other team. I know that the Braves limped kind of into the playoffs. But this team, with the expectations that you have, with the talent you have, that sometimes is a tough feat to meet that, and you're going to fail. So, yes, I see all the comments. Jose Altuve failed three times. We know that their big three, I said, were 0 for 12. It's not game one anymore. It's about how do you react, how do you counterpunch. And the Astros are more equipped and have bigger arsenal to punch than the Braves do. And I just don't see the Braves replicating the same type of game and energy in game two.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that this is just one game. I'm not worried about this going on from game two. So we'll see what happens. And like I said, the key to this series is going to be Jose Urquidy. I said that would be the key, the X factor. When we did the podcast the other day with Sully, I said that would be the X factor. And so we'll see what the whole situation was, because he's got to go deep in this game. And one thing that I do want to talk about Valdez real quick is that he was this is the fourth in World Series history to last two innings or fewer with at least eight hits and five earned runs allowed. The others are three-fingered Brown in 1906, the Braves' Kevin Millwood in 1999, and ironically, Dusty Baker pulled this guy in 2002. That is Russ Ortiz. He did that in 2002. So we'll see if that's kind of reminiscent of, I believe before the game, Dusty Baker said, yeah, y'all criticized me. Back then, I pulled Russ Ortiz too early. Now you would criticize me if I didn't pull him early enough. So that's just kind of life. That's how the life of a manager has changed, because now there's more focus on a bullpen. The reason why I bring that up is the Astros bullpen has been really good. I know we've already kind of discussed it, but Yimi Garcia has become that early inning guy. Like, if the starter exits early, who do we go to? Yimi Garcia time. That's what time it is. And then,
I mean, you know, Eric, they had 10 of the 12 strikeouts tonight. You know, they only, like you said, they only gave up the one earned run and 12 strikeouts. imagine if Valdez goes out and pitches five one run innings. You're talking about a 2-2 game going ninth inning.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that if Urquidy does that tomorrow, the Astros get the victory. If Urquidy lasts five innings and only allows one run, I think the Astros get the victory tomorrow. It's just the fact that Valdez gave up five runs in essentially two innings. That was the issue. And I know Dusty Baker was asked, well, why did you leave Framber Valdez in when he didn't look like he had his best stuff? And so I don't know.
Here's the second inning. He started getting ahead, but on the two strike counts, the Braves were still hitting. So whether he was tipping his pitches or he just wasn't locating them, it maybe is a little bit of both, but he was falling behind 0-2 in the first inning. In the second inning, he was getting ahead to, he was falling behind 2-0. And he was in the second inning, he was getting the two strikes and then they were getting hit. So whatever he had, they had an answer for him. And like I said, that's going to happen. He went from having one in recent memory for the playoffs
right.
to having an absolute stinker of a game. And it's odd because you thought with all the hope and with all the thing that Framber brought and all the fanfare that he's brought, hey, he's going to come in and he's going to be our guy.
Yeah. So, you know what? Watching that game, it made me want to have a Built Bar. Talk to me about Built Bar.
So Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar in the business. It is not chocked full of calories and fat and things that are bad for you. It's wrapped in 100% chocolate. Number one, that's a great thing. Number two, they've got a variety of flavors. You can get this sample box where you get two of each of their nine main flavors. They always have specials. They have these puffs called Churro Puffs. It's crazy. The eye-opening experience that a Built Bar is. It has 17 to 18 grams of protein, 130 to 180 calories, ranging 4 to 5 grams of sugar, only 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy. Order today and get the grasshopper cookie or raspberry or whatever you like. Built Bar is the official protein bar of the USA Track and Field team. I think that's pretty cool myself. So go to built.com and use a promo code LOCKED15, that's LOCKED15, for 15% off your first box at built.com. Built.com is where you get Built Bar, the best protein bar in the land.
Well, if you bet on the Braves tonight, you probably won some money. So if betonline.ag would have helped you out there. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, we're back and better than ever in the new web interface to start of the basketball season and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all basketball and football action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile web, sign up today, and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use a promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, baseball, postseason, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing gifts available for the 2021 season. Bet online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. Bet online, where the game starts.
Okay, I don't understand why the national media is coming into Houston asking Rob Manfred, so what do you think about the Astros and cheating in 2017? Do you think they're cheating in 2021 and all this? And it's just like, guys, the Astros are in the World Series. There's no evidence of them cheating in 2021. So why are we doing this? And so I think Rob Manfred kind of did it really well. He said, my thoughts are we had a great division series, a league championship series. We got two teams that have played really, really well. I'm looking forward to a great World Series. It's all forward looking from my perspective. And then they kept on asking him. They said, well, what about 2 years later? They're being back in another World Series. Is that going to take away? He said, I'm going to say it one more time. I'm looking forward to a great World Series. And then he also said, he kind of praised James Click. He said, I said to James since James has been here as the GM. He's done a phenomenal job in terms of moving the organization forward. You can't say enough good things about what he has done. And also in terms of when they said, well, what if the Astros win? How will baseball change the way they look at him? And he said, well, that's up to people. I mean, you can't really.
That's going to be something that a narrative or what people think, you're never going to change your opinion. Rob Manfred did say that the roof was going to be open for game two, which would be interesting because we're supposed to have a ton of heavy wind and a ton of like really, really bad rain and stuff. So hopefully what we can do is keep the roof closed, Mr. Manfred. That would be great if the Astros as a club can decide what they want to do. The whole reason for having that roof is to be able to decide. So I think whether the roof is open or closed, this Astros baseball team, this club, again, is well equipped to come back and punch the Braves in them and shock them a little bit before back to Atlanta.
Yeah, it's just funny how the whole reason why we have the roof closed is so the fans can be loud. And in this game, for sure, there wasn't a lot to cheer for. And then if they have the game open tomorrow, the roof open tomorrow, if you have something to cheer for, then it won't be as loud. But, that's what Rob Manfred wants. And I think a lot of people want to see open-air baseball in Houston. It's going to be really, really cold here. So
I don't want to see open-air baseball. I grew up in the dome. I want it closed. I want an indoor stadium. I need my air conditioner. As a fan, if I pay that much money for a standing room only ticket, I'm sorry, folks. I want a closed stadium because I don't think the cold weather is going to come in until the evening. And so it's going to tick back up to 84. The humidity is still going to be there. So if there's humidity in the air, let's just close the dang roof. Let's get some good AC going Texas style.
All right, the Astros are the first team to lose 5 straight World Series home games since, guess who? The Braves did it in 1996 to 1999.
So, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Interesting. Okay.
It's kind of depressing because if you think about the 2019 World Series, the fact that the road team won all the games. Remember the Astros lost the first two home games and they
won. I remember that. I just didn't know the Braves did that as well.
Yeah. So it sucks, but I think this team is going to take care of business tomorrow. I think they're going to go into
Truist Field. It's the truest. Yeah. It's the truest place for the Astros to get a victory. I don't know. It is a weird. I mean, Ted Turner Field. I don't know. Yeah. You would think they would come with a better name then. I guess it's a corporate sponsor though.
Yeah,
it's a corporate whatever sponsor. Whatever pays the bills, right?
Yeah. So Max Fried would be on the mound for the Braves. He is 14-7 with the 3.04 ERA during the regular season. During the postseason, he's 1-4 with the 3.78 ERA. Jose Urquidy is 8-3 during regular season. He has the 3.62 ERA. During postseason, I don't know if I should read this, but he's 0-1 with a 27 ERA. But that was...
Oh, well, that's okay. You know, the bottom line is this. Will the Astros hitters come in with a game plan if Max Fried has his best stuff, and if he brings his best stuff, how will they counter it? And the second thing, Jose Urquidy has got to go at least 5. I want Urquidy to go 6 innings. And the way he goes 6 innings, Eric, or even into the 7th inning, is he keeps his pitch count low. He misses barrels or he induces soft contact and ground balls, and that gets you to that bridge. I think the Astros bullpen is capable, and they've proved that, to be very dependable, but you have to give them the chance to succeed.
Yeah, Eddie Rosario has been crushing all postseason, but one thing that a lot of people are not really talking about is all the Braves hitters and starters got a hit today. And that's something that hasn't that doesn't happen that often, if it ever has happened in the in the World Series. I'm sure it's happened before, but then Eddie Rosario had two hard hits. Travis Dennard and Jock Peterson had hard hits, and Austin Riley had hard hits. So you had a lot of people getting hard hits for the Braves. And you know who got a whole bunch of hard hits for the Astros? You had Michael Brantley, Kyle Tucker, Carlos Correa, and Yuli Gurriel. But when I say hard hits, that doesn't mean actual hits. That just means they made hard contact. So that, I mean, some of those became outs. So I, what I'm trying
so
to
someone
say is
said hard. Someone said Castro DH, but you realize your DH tonight got a couple of the hits, and you're not going to put Castro DH. I'm just saying, I saw that. It's like, no, we just need Castro in late innings. He's fine coming in late innings because he's been clutch. So,
yeah. Yeah, so yeah, I'm not too worried about this. The Astros still managed to get eight hits. We'll see what happens, but the Astros have got scored more than two runs. This is the fewest runs they've scored in all the postseason games. And I saw that that the Astros, when they trailed, they've trailed 5-0. They haven't come back to win since that 18-inning game in the 2005 playoff games in the NLDS versus the Braves. So they haven't come back to actually win a game. So once again, they do this. So it's just, this was a bad game, but it's like Dusty Baker would say, this is only one game. You can flush it down the toilet, let it clog up a little bit, but you got to get a plunger and just plunge it. And then once it finally goes down the drain, then
let's not get too descriptive there. We get it. Let's just move on to the next day. We get it. Thank you for the visual. yeah, but that's what it was. This was a crappy game, pun intended. But that's okay. We'll come back. They will come back, because I'm not on the team. If I was on the team, I wouldn't be here right now, right? Eric and I enjoy covering this. We enjoy you guys interacting with us. We enjoy you guys making us your first listen every day, whether it's on Apple, Google, Spotify, or even Odyssey and on YouTube. We thank you for making us your first listen. If you ever tweet at us or talk to us on social media, use the hashtag first listen.
Yeah. So guys, that's all we got. And make sure you check out Sully at the Locked On MLB podcast. We'll be back tomorrow. I may try to do another pregame show tomorrow. We'll see. If not, we'll be definitely back for another postgame show after the, hopefully, Astros victory. Jose Urquidy goes 5 innings and Astros win. That's my prediction. So go Astros, and hopefully they score more runs than the Braves do, because that's normally a good equation for victory. Go Astros.